On today's show, we are running part 3 of 3 with NCUA's chairman, Todd Harper, talking about consumer financial protection, appraisal bias, and much, much more. So check it out. Hey, let's talk about consumer financial protection. What's the latest there?
So, you know, I talked about this about the CUNA GAC the other week, and certainly there is a myth out there that because credit unions are owned by their members, they're always going to do right by their members. I think that's the case more often than not. But Mike, last year we had 4 credit unions that we worked with who had age and marital discrimination affecting more than 64,000 members. And we actually worked to provide restitution to those members for problems that were happened. And I don't necessarily think that many credit unions have an intent to go out and discriminate, but they may say we're going to do automatic underwriting. But hey, you know what, at age 70 plus, we're going to pull that loan file because there may be elder abuse happening. Well, suddenly you're treating somebody above 70 differently, and that's creating some problems. So we're helping credit unions to find and fix problems there. Also, last year, we had about 37,000 complaints that came into our Consumer Access Center, and we worked to provide $1.7 million in monies and compensation to people who were affected. So I think it's important to remind credit unions that there are problems out
there. Right,
right. We're also the only regulator in terms of federal banking agencies that doesn't do a separate exam solely focused on consumer financial
protection. Okay.
Assign a separate score. So credit unions don't have that insight. Can you imagine what the world might be like, Mike? Have you ever gone to a restaurant and you've seen that it's got a grade A health from the public health inspector on it? And don't you feel better eating there?
Yeah, I do.
Can you imagine what the world might be like if credit unions had their consumer financial protection scores up there? It's like I could walk into my credit union and I could feel like, yeah, I'm confident I'm going to be treated well here. Mm-hmm. What I'm talking about when we go out and do exams and grow our exam program, especially for the largest credit unions, is helping credit unions to check their tires, to do the tune-up, to find out if they've got something just a little off and fix it. Because I want the credit union system to live up to its full potential of people helping people.
Indeed. Well said. Well said. And on that same note, one of our last topics here is appraisal bias. Kind of almost on the same note. I actually just read a story in Housing Wire today about this. I went, oh my gosh, I'm talking to the NCUA chairman today about appraisal bias. So good timing here.
So appraisal bias, and I'm glad that you brought it up, Mike. You don't know this, but I've actually worked on appraisal bias and appraisal issues now for 20 plus years.
Have you?
And
oh my God. Okay.
I was the one who wrote and drafted the provisions that got folded into the Dodd-Frank Act back in 2010 on appraisal reform. One of the reforms that we called for back then was automation value models. We know these automated models are going out and doing valuations, but there are no quality control standards behind them. Mm. And we at the agencies are working to develop quality control standards so that you can, when that number spits out of the computer, that you can be reasonably confident that it is the right number and it's a good number.
Right.
In doing so, you want to make sure that there's no bias that gets built into that model. And so we want to make sure that it complies with fair lending laws. So we're looking at those issues. In addition, I've worked closely with the appraisal subcommittee. The appraisal subcommittee is the federal entity that oversees state regulators. And we've been working to figure out how can we get more more people of color into the appraisal industry. We've also been working how to make sure that an appraisal that comes in for a lending approval might say, well, they might make some characteristics about the neighborhood that could be seen as pulling down the value of the home. I think it's terrible when people have to whitewash their homes in order to get a good number. And I've seen countless stories about this where a couple in San Francisco redoes their house. Mm-hmm. They're an African-American couple. Mm-hmm. They come in and they get an appraisal and it's actually less for than what they bought the house for and what they put it in. Oh, they then take down all the pictures of the family and have a white friend come over and the house appraises for $500,000.
What?
That's real wealth.
Wow.
And what you have to think about here is there are 3 ways to close the wealth gap. 1, open and fund your retirement account. 2, start a small business. But for most people, it's that home. Mm-hmm. And if they're not getting the right value on their home, We're not closing the wealth gap. We're creating more systemic problems. So I'm really pleased. The NCUA was part of the PAVE initiative that the administration put together. Mm-hmm. All of the financial regulators were actually, and we've got a number 21 things that we've got to do in the months ahead in order to ensure better equity and to decrease the systemic racism and other problems that have occurred in the appraisal industry.
Yeah, it's hard to believe this stuff still happens in 2022. Are you kidding me? It's like, it just blows my mind, you know, just, and I stand educated today, Todd. So thank you very much for that. So, oh my gosh, that completes our lightning round today.
Oh, there you go. Oh, hey, you know what? I love it. But can I share with you one story before we
please.
Go?
Oh, please do.
So I have to tell you this. Last year I was back home visiting my parents. It was the first time I got to see them since the pandemic started. Yeah. And we went out to dinner and we're at dinner. And my mom turns to me and she said, you know, your dad started a credit union.
What?
And I look at my dad and I'm like, okay, come on. I've known you how long? and I've been doing this work for how long on credit union policy issues? And you never thought to tell your son? And my dad says, yeah, I helped to start the credit union. And she says, Ron, tell him a little more. Yeah. And so then my dad tells me that he was the first treasurer for the credit union. It was a teacher's credit union in Illinois. And not only was he the first treasurer, he took out the first loan and bought a camper that I slept in as a kid. And I wanted to tell you that story because credit unions change lives and they create memories. And for me, I can have that memory. And as it turns out, my credit union history goes back to even earlier than I even imagined.
Yeah, talk about personal. Oh my gosh, that's about as personal as it gets. Wow, that's a great story, Todd. Oh my gosh, thank you so much for sharing that.
You're welcome, Mike.
Well, this has been an absolute blast. And thank you so much again for taking time out of your busy schedule. I can't imagine what your schedule is like on a daily basis, Todd. I mean, I don't know how you do it, but you do it. So, but we thank you again for the time and keep up the good work there. All of you guys at NCUA do such a wonderful job for credit unions. We appreciate all the hard work that you guys do and keep up the good work and look forward to the next chat. Hopefully you'll be in person.
Absolutely. You're always welcome on my computer, Mike, and even better in person.
Okay.